At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, it is the moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Oh, yeah, this is the moment you have been waiting for. We kind of teased all week that we were hosting. Brad and I and Ethan are taking over, and when Annie's gone, it's just guys. So this is the Manny Fry Show. My name is Ryan Wiggins. Brad and Ethan, I just mentioned, will be in throughout the show. We're going to get right into the news here. But it's really based on yesterday. So at the end of the show yesterday, 3 o'clock, Brad and I stepped out of the studio. Mark Reardon's show was starting. We were just going through our post-game rituals. Brad eats protein right after the show. Usually I sit there and
gotta recover,
either twiddle my thumbs or do something with the podcast one way or the other. And we started watching, well, I wasn't even watching. I didn't have the TV on. Brad runs into my office. He goes, you got to see the press conference that's going on right now. And it was, if you didn't see this, it was really short. And we didn't know. We thought it was going to be, you know, this long thing. It wasn't. It was maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, where Trump used the authority of the presidency to just walk into the Federal Reserve. And keep in mind, you can't just do that. Nobody can do that other than the president. It's kind of like the Fort Knox thing, actually. We should revisit that at some point, President Trump. Elon Musk and President Trump were on good terms when they were talking about going into Fort Knox. And then nobody ever went into Fort Knox. And it makes you wonder if there's a bigger conspiracy there. I don't know. But you can, if you're the president, walk into the Federal Reserve, and you're really the only one that can do it. And so he just did it. And I just love this kind of crap that he does because he can, and nobody would really do that other than him. So we pulled up the whole press conference for you. And keep in mind, this is not very long, but we're going to play it. And if you can't see it, it's okay. If you're just listening on the radio, that's okay. But this is all within the backdrop of these two guys fighting like crazy. If you've been paying attention, Donald Trump, at any possible opportunity, puts an absolute elbow drop Hulk Hogan style on Jerome Powell and tells him he's an idiot and he's too late, Powell, and he won't do anything to benefit the country, and he's a terrible person. it's not just professional attacks, of course, because it's coming from Trump. It's personal attacks. And saying that this guy is a dummy. And then he goes, and I'm going to come in and tour your facility. So the reason that he's doing that is not just to pressure him to lower interest rates. I'm sure that's part of it. But the reason he's doing it is because the reports have been coming out, and some people in Congress even referred this for criminal prosecution, which is never going to happen, that the Federal Reserve building was $2.5 billion into its renovations. If you've ever renovated a house, spending $10,000 on a bathroom is a lot. And some people do even bigger than that. You know, like you go into renovations and you're like, oh man, you got these big dreams, and then you spend a lot on them and it comes out really nice. But in context of, you know, a home renovation, this is basically one office, but it's not just one, but it's basically one office building that's being renovated. And it's $2.5 billion into this. And so he goes, that's inappropriate. I'm in real estate. I know how to
He's toured construction sites.
That's crazy. And if you missed yesterday's show, I mentioned that $2.5 billion would build the Dallas Cowboys Stadium twice. That's according to numbers from a few years ago, so maybe not quite entirely.
I remember when they built that stadium, like, people were outraged. Jimmy Johnson spent over $1 billion on this.
Yeah, and it was like, oh my gosh, this thing is insane. There's no reason to play football at this stadium. It's not even, you know, it's like a multi-entertainment zone. It's not a stadium.
Well,
and now that's what everybody wants.
And now you're talking about what, $2.5 billion in renovations at the Fed, which isn't that big.
Not even to build a new building.
Right.
Just to renovate the existing building, $2.5 billion. Again, that's at least once over, if not twice over, building the entire Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the context for this. I encourage you to tune in and watch this if you missed it. But you can hear it as we play it. Here it's the way it starts.
I think we hear the president. Let's tune in.
With the chairman, as you know. Chairman, come on over. And we're just taking a look at what's happening. And it's a tough construction job. They're building basements where they didn't exist or expanding them. And a lot of very expensive work.
Okay, Trump is a pretty tall guy. So visually, I'm going to explain what this looks like. He is standing with a hard hat in the basement of the Federal Reserve with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, who is not really a short guy, but it pales in comparison to the height of Trump. And he looks like just a really shriveled old man standing there, kind of embarrassed to be standing next to Donald Trump after all this has gone on.
I would say he looks like he's been scolded.
Question about it. And Tim has been with me for a long time, and you're in charge of the committee.
Tim Scott.
One of the reasons why I wanted to see it was the overruns of the expenses, wanted to figure out why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot.
Now hang on now, because right when he says that, Jerome Powell starts shaking his head no.
The 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
It just came out.
What he's saying is, remember that $2.5 billion number I just said that was the widely reported? He said when he walked in the Federal Reserve and asked for the papers, they came back at a little higher than 2.5. He said it was 2.7. Actually, no, it was $3.1
billion. I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
Our notes had it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2.
This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
So
now you're including the Martin renovation.
That,
you just added
our entire capital.
You just added in a third building. Is what that is. It's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
Yeah. So a lot of people have diced this up.
And
If you're on X, of course, people are going to go, "Ooh, the drama. Let's figure out who fact checked who here," because they're kind of both doing it to each other.
Yeah.
Jerome Powell is saying, well, yes, the $3.1 billion is true, but that's for a building that we already built.
Yeah. To set the visual for you, you probably heard him, but when Donald Trump says $3.1 billion, Jerome Powell gets this big, confused look on his face and then snaps his head over to look at him. And then he says, I haven't heard of that. And Trump reaches into his vest or into his jacket pocket and pulls out a piece of paper.
One piece of paper.
And it's like right here. And it, like, you can see the little tag and the marker on. He's like, it's right here. So
he says, this is from us. Trump's like, yeah. He looks at it. Yes, it is. That is from us, the Federal Reserve. So then he says, well, $3.1 billion. Well, that includes the other building, and we're already done with that building. And Trump's point is, it's all part of the point.
Right.
And does the point actually change here? Not really. If the place has spent $2.5 billion, there's nobody who hears that and goes, $2.5 billion, that's not that big of a deal. Oh, wait, was it $3.1 billion? Okay, now it's a big deal. Nobody's doing that.
Well, and if you do the math, Trump's saying it went from $2.5 billion to $3.1 billion. That means that on that one building itself, they spent $600 million on it.
Yeah, yeah, and that one's done, but it's all part of this same project.
It's not new.
So we're going to take a look,
We're going to see what's happening, and it's got a long way. Do you expect any more additional cost overruns?
Don't expect them. We're ready for them, but we have a little bit of a reserve that we may use, but no.
Oh, you, nice. You have a reserve at the Federal Reserve. That's good to know. Do you expect any more cost overruns? No, we don't expect any, but we do have the money if we do.
We have money set aside.
We don't expect to be finished in 2027. We're well along, as you can see.
Nice to take these off every once in a while when we're not under too much danger. So, any questions?
Mr. President, does the issue give you
developer,
any?
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
That's pretty much the whole conference, ladies and gentlemen. It ends right after that. And that's a fact. And so why is everybody up in arms about this? Well, because there's so much money being wasted. I mean, this is Washington typical, that there's so much money concentrated in one little area there. And people can't believe that somebody's coming in and cleaning it out. Now, before you say, taxpayer money wasted, it's actually not. That's the other wrinkle in this. The Federal Reserve is not funded by taxpayers. It's from interest that it earns on U.S. government securities, so it's adjacent. And it also, the Fed also earns income from fees for services like check clearing and funds transfers. Now, the argument is, well, if they're making this much money, maybe those fees should go down a little bit.
Yeah.
They have an absolute surplus of money that they don't even know what to do with. They're fixing up the basement and stuff. Who cares? And there are lots of people that work at the Federal Reserve because they have such an incredible surplus of cash. But it's semi-privately funded. So at least it's not taxpayer funded. But that's the reason why Congress can't just go do something with the Fed. Because the president really is the only one that has any authority over the Federal Reserve other than Congress approving his picks. So it's a weird story, but I loved watching Trump basically walk into this thing and flex. I mean, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he's doing it to try to lower the bigger picture here. He's trying to lower interest rates. He's trying to get them to admit that they have too much money and that they're overspending and under-delivering on their stupid buildings because it's Washington. But at the same time, he's saying that every, I think it's quarter point that they lower interest rates, it saves taxpayers, the U.S. government, $380 billion or something like
that.
Yeah. It's along those lines. And so he's saying lower it all the way down to 1% and we'd just be out of debt. Basically, that's not going to happen. But it's a big deal that the Fed won't lower interest rates. It's political. Because they did a lower interest rates right before the election, and now they won't, and the numbers say better things now than they did then. So it's obviously political. I love having a president that will walk into these situations and just not give a damn. I mean, he doesn't care, and he's willing to be hated by the person he's standing next to get an outcome.
Yeah, the job that he's trying to do is more important than trying to do it in a way where people are like, oh, isn't that nice? Because that's what politics is, making people happy while you're doing the job. He's not worried about that.
And how does President Trump benefit from this? Not at all.
The country
benefits from it. If interest rates are lowered, the U.S. can finance its debt at a lower rate, and that saves everybody money. So he's working on our behalf, and I thought that was really cool yesterday to watch. Just classic Trump, just walking into a situation where he'd been absolutely railroading this guy, and then all of a sudden, hey, let's talk. I'm going to come over, and we're going to shake hands. We're going to take a short break, really short break, and be right back with Fox's Eben Brown about the Ghislaine Maxwell interview that's happening with the DOJ. Stick around. We'll be right back real quick.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell? If
it's something I haven't thought about. It's really
recommended.
It's something I'm allowed to do it, but it's something I have not thought about.
But you wouldn't rule it out, sir.
Ghislaine Maxwell being interviewed by the DOJ, and we have Fox's Eben Brown on the phone with us. Thanks for calling in, Eben. Annie is off today. This is Ryan Wiggins.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for calling in. So you're reporting here on the DOJ, and give us the lowdown of why this is happening or why this might be controversial. Anything about it?
Well, I'll tell you why it's interesting. It is not interesting that a already convicted defendant would have a meeting with a prosecutor about some kind of progress or new information about their case. That happens quite regularly, and it either pans out for them or it doesn't. What's interesting here is that Ghislaine Maxwell and her lawyer are not meeting with the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Florida or any of that person's assistant U.S. attorneys, the people who would be doing the actual prosecuting in a courtroom. She's meeting with the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, the second in command of the Department of Justice. They usually don't get involved at this level, right?
Which says this is a big deal, right?
Which says this is potentially a big deal. How it's a big deal, we don't know because everyone's tight-lipped. But let's consider this a bit further, and this is speculative, but hopefully not off the deep end. If Ghislaine Maxwell had information that could have led to either her exoneration or a lesser sentence, why not divulge that back when she was on trial? Jeffrey Epstein, her supposed life mate, was already dead by that point. She wasn't protecting anything other than maybe some kind of weird legacy. But, you know, she wanted to go to prison for decades over that? I don't think so. So the question is maybe the U.S. government has something new and they're obliged to share that because an attorney would want to, a defense attorney, that is, would want to see if there could be a possibility of a retrial, or it could be something that could mean a successful appeal at the circuit court level, or a resentencing motion, or maybe a move towards commutation and pardon. So that's where things get a bit interesting. Of course, we don't know what they talked about. We do know that they spoke for almost 6 hours yesterday.
Oh, wow. 6 hours.
That's a long meeting. And they're meeting again today. So it's not over.
So, Eben, is there a cause we all know that Trump is under a lot of pressure here because everybody's yelling about the Epstein stuff. And so This looks like, OK, fine, then let's get this thing going again. But has the DOJ or anybody in authority explicitly said this is why we're interviewing her now?
No. And I don't expect them to. The Justice Department, for any and all cases, from the attorney general on down to the most junior assistant U.S. state attorney in a given district, has a policy of not talking to the media, letting a trial or any proceeding play out during a trial. And that's been policy for decades, if not centuries at this point. So I don't expect them to really say anything until they get into a court scenario where some of this has to be divulged to the court openly as to whether or not it could be included in some kind of retrial or some sort of hearing, where this matter is re-adjudicated. So up until that point, we probably won't know what it is they're discussing. It also behooves the defense to keep their mouth shut as well, because these can get into intricate bargaining sessions where maybe a plea deal could be worked out instead of a new trial, right? So these are all the possibilities. But we don't know exactly what evidence, if it's evidence that they have, has come to light. We do know, as you mentioned, the president is getting a lot of pressure from his own base, the so-called MAGA, right? Because a lot of them have made the Epstein matter sort of a main cause for them, and understandably so. They want to see someone held responsible for the alleged trafficking of children. I think everyone who's decent would say we want to have a resolution to that, too. But I think that for many years, a lot of people had staked personal reputation on there being some kind of exhaustive list of clients or compatriots of Jeffrey Epstein who were overwhelmingly, let's just say, part of the Democratic Party elite and a Democratic Party fundraising elite. And they were hoping to expose them. That may or may not be the case. We don't know. But I think on the other side of things, Democrats who have struggled so long over a number of years, and very specifically since January 20th of this year, to find some weakness in Donald Trump, think that they may have found a chink in his armor, in that his supporters might be angry with him over the Epstein stuff. And now, only in the past couple of weeks, have you seen Democratic Party action, especially among Capitol Hill Democrats, to pressure the administration to release the Epstein files. Prior to a couple of weeks ago, they have said nothing about this, or virtually nothing. So right. There we are.
Okay. Now, I keep reading, Eben, and just because Twitter says it doesn't mean it's true, yeah. Which is why I'm asking you. But yes. I keep reading that in the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, that the prosecution and you know the law enforcement at the time never really interviewed her like this. Is that the case? Is there a possibility, I guess what I'm asking is, that we could find out something very new from her here?
Well, okay, anything is possible, right? Remember that. Beyond that, I'm sure that at least one FBI agent had to talk to Ghislaine Maxwell at some point during her original prosecution. That, right. That had to happen. It could not have not happened, right? And if Ghislaine Maxwell has something new to talk about, again, I'll go back to my original question. Why didn't she bring it up years ago when it could have exonerated her or lessened the penalties she was going to face? Would that not have made sense? So what speculative, I think that maybe the U.S. government, the Justice Department, has found something, and they're bringing it to her attention, as they are obliged to do. And maybe she has a memory that has been stirred by something that was not considered back then, and she's very willing to answer any and all questions. In fact, her attorney yesterday spoke with reporters outside the federal court in Tallahassee and said that Ghislaine Maxwell answered every question with enthusiasm, at no point refused to answer a question, at no point sought to invoke any kind of privilege or Fifth Amendment protections. So he was quite enthused that there could be some progress for his client there.
Is there a possibility, Eben, that this could... I'm asking you speculative questions, I understand, but that this could boomerang and she could come out and say, yeah, Trump was really not involved in any of the criminal activity that's put her in jail. And she spills the beans on lots of people that maybe the previous administration didn't even care to find out about.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's all, again, anything is possible, right? And I think there are a number of people who have sort of, again, staked their reputation on something like that actually happening. It's possible, but we don't know. And we're not going to know today. I'll tell you that.
When will we find out what's come of this?
When both sides are ready to take whatever it is to a judge and begin to resolve it, for the Justice Department to come forward with some new information, some new evidence, for the defense to make a motion saying this new evidence either exonerates Ghislaine Maxwell or it calls into question at least the sentence against her, that maybe it should be lessened. That's probably when we find that out, but that's not happening today or tomorrow.
Fox's Eben Brown on the phone with us. One of the reasons that this has been a little bit confusing to follow, unless you're, really locked in, is that right now, you said the DOJ is interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell. But I keep reading that the House is subpoenaing Ghislaine Maxwell also and others.
Yeah. She is facing a House subpoena, which I am under the impression her attorney says she will participate in. That date is August 11th, so not that far off.
Yeah,
I think it's the 11th, somewhere in the middle part of August. So that's not that far off. August is next week, and what she might say in that forum, could be interesting. As far as I know, it's going to be open, but it may be closed. That's the Congress's prerogative to do that, especially if there's any possibility that some kind of compartmentalized, classified whatever could be discussed or revealed, right? So they have that obligation. So, again, I guess we'll see what happens when we get there.
Aside from Ghislaine Maxwell, I keep reading other names involved in these House subpoenas, specifically Bill and Hillary Clinton. Are they expected to testify in this case?
I haven't heard from their camp about what they will or will not do.
They haven't talked to you.
They haven't talked to me. I seem to remember in some other proceedings over the past few years that some other people close to President Trump refused to testify when subpoenaed by Congress. And the Democratic-controlled Congress referred those individuals for prosecution for contempt of Congress. And the Department of Justice proceeded with that. Steve Bannon is a name in that case. Would the Republican-controlled Congress do the same to someone in these matters that is subpoenaed and who fails to show up? I don't know. Up to Congress.
Eben, last question for you on this topic, because we'll run up against a break here. But is this considered, now that the DOJ is getting involved and interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell, is this them saying we're reopening this case, essentially? The Epstein files?
I don't know if they've used that terminology, but obviously they are looking into something that is new. They wouldn't send the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, the second in command of the Justice Department, out of his Washington office on a plane, I assume, down to Florida to meet with someone who they've already convicted and put away for decades. Right. Yeah. She's facing, I think it's 20 years, right, or something like that. So, again, normally if there's some new matter in a case that has been previously resolved, it's the work of the local U.S. Attorney's office to deal with it. Certainly not the second in command of the Justice Department.
Well, it seems like a big deal, but there's so many big deals happening simultaneously that it's really hard to follow.
Yes, there are.
So,
yes.
Fox News Radio national correspondent Eben Brown, thank you so much for your time, and we'll just continue to talk to you about this as it goes.
You bet. No problem.
All right. Thank you. Hey, stick around because we're going to take a short break here, and if you are a Billy Joel fan, apparently he has made some random political comments, of which I did not know he was prone to do. Now you're probably asking yourself, are they right-leaning or left-leaning? I'm not going to tell you that yet. I'm going to read those to you when we come back, and you can decide.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad mentioned the poll there. The genesis of this thing, if you're curious as to why we would want or allow, if you don't want it, we won't do it, Ethan to host the 2 o'clock hour during the Manny Fry Show as Annie is out for the day, is that one day Ethan was in here and he talked about how afraid he would be to do a show. And we said, well, then you have to do the show. That was it.
Yeah, don't show weakness on this show.
Don't you dare, because we're going to make you make it happen. So it's up to you. That's the poll. Should Ethan host the 2 o'clock hour of this show? And if he does, I think some of us are hoping that it does not go that well, because you know, some of us like hosting the show when Annie's out. And us? We would lose our jobs if that happened. Billy Joel. You a fan of Billy Joel?
Yeah, I like some Billy Joel.
Oddly, I've always considered myself not a fan of Billy Joel, but then anytime I hear a Billy Joel song, I'm like, ah, it's a good song.
It's a good song. Yeah, he's a good songwriter.
I don't really dislike much of his music.
He's sort of a lost style in where he writes and plays his own songs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's just a couple that I don't really love of Billy Joel's, but most of the time when I hear a song and I'm like, oh, I like this, and it's Billy Joel, I'm like, oh, yeah, but I don't like it.
Of course.
I like this song,
of
but I don't like it.
Of course it's a good song.
But it's the vast amount of songs.
Everybody else likes him, so I don't.
Exactly. But here, I'm going to read some of the comments that he was on Bill Maher's podcast, and it surprised me a little bit, because when you hear what they're talking about, it would lead you down a certain road. So I'm going to read this, and you can read into it what you think. In the song, which they're talking about, is Angry Young Man, 1976 song. I don't necessarily know this. Maybe if I heard it, I would know it. Angry Young Man by Billy Joel. He says, quote, I believe I've passed the age of consciousness and righteous rage. I found that just surviving was a noble fight. I once believed in causes, too. I had my pointless point of view, and life went on no matter who was wrong or right. Now, when I hear that lyric, I don't think that sounds like it would enrage anyone.
Right.
In fact, that's kind of the point of the lyric, is that it's like, you know, everybody's kind of doing the same thing, and I'm not really sure which way to go, so maybe I just don't go anywhere, is the point of that lyric. But apparently that is a lightning rod of a Billy Joel lyric that has enraged one side. I won't tell you which one, because I'll get to those comments in a minute. But then the HBO host, Bill Maher, brought up Billy Joel's Vietnam War era song, Goodnight Saigon, and its lyrics, quote, and who was wrong and who was right? It didn't matter in the thick of the fight. Does that sound like it would be right-leaning or left-leaning to you?
That maybe has, I don't know. I would say left, because that's kind of more of the hippie side of things.
That's what I would have thought. That sounds more like, well, you're not going to take a side in the Vietnam
it's
War.
It's still kind of benign, though, because it's like, it's really, he's like saying it's really hard to tell what the truth is in the midst of the fog of war.
That's the way I interpret it, too. But if you were going to have to assign a political side to it,
yeah,
I would think that would lean left.
Slightly.
Well, apparently, and then Bill Maher goes on and asks, do you still feel that way? And Billy Joel says, yes. And you don't care what they say about you, Bill Maher says. The woke. At this point, no. Apparently, this has become, and I'm not saying if you're left, like, this has become your, this isn't your fight. But online, there's a little bit of a dust up over some of Billy Joel's old lyrics being conservative. And that's what they're citing as like not getting involved in the fight, because both of those lyrics are saying, I've just sort of stepped out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense that the left would be mad about that.
And Billy Joel is saying at this point, no, I don't get why the woke is so mad about this. It's difficult in this day and age. He says, I really try to find the other point of view. What's not my point of view? What's somebody else's? Okay, I'd like to understand why they think that way. That used to be, I would say that would be sort of left-leaning. But nowadays, apparently, that's conservative? I don't really know. But the point of the article is, as Fox News reports here, that legendary musician Billy Joel told Bill Maher that he doesn't care if the far left complains about his statements or music anymore. At this point, I'm inured to it. Billy Joel said in reply to Bill Maher asking if he doesn't care if woke people criticize him any longer. I got to tell you, this story just confuses me. I mean, I really don't understand.
It doesn't. I'll tell you what. What I understand from the woke left is you have to take a stand, and not taking a stand is taking a stand for the other side. It's like in their brain, they're looking at you saying, well, you're just afraid to admit that you're actually for the other side because this one is so obviously true that we're right on this, that if you're not going to tell us that we're right, then we know that you're not with us.
Yeah, you can't stay out of the fight.
Right.
You have to be on our side or you are against us.
Right. That is a core tenet of the woke left. It might actually be a core tenet of the woke right, too.
But to dig up old Billy Joel lyrics?
Yeah, this is the bizarre thing. This is why I know that this is also a left thing. We like to go through your history and see where you were so we can figure out where you stand. Because you go back to that core tenet, we need to know where you stand. Because if you're not with us, you're against us.
Apparently.
And so they would go back in something that has no application to whatever modern struggle these people think that they're fighting against. And they would try to make something that happened in the,
In the 70s, these are all
about,
70s quotes.
You know, 2025. It's dumb. It's what they do, though.
Bill Maher went on and said that he agreed that how mad leftists get when people don't declare that Trump is the worst. So he's saying exactly what you're saying, that that this is now Bill Maher, who, of course, is traditionally a leftist. But are we in an age now where the left, and I'm not talking about the left like Bill Maher might be, because he would not consider himself conservative at all, but he would be a traditional liberal. Apparently, Billy Joel sounds like he might be cut from that cloth. Are we now in a place where the far left is, are they still running the party? Because you have a lot of voices like this that are coming out and saying this is ridiculous, but it still appears to me like the politicians of Democrats, the ones that get all the attention anyway, and the ones that are getting the money and all of the attention for, hey, maybe you're a candidate, they're all these really far left people still.
Yeah, I would say that they still have an unbalanced sway over the politicians. The politicians are still somewhat afraid of the left. I mean, I think Elise Slotkin from Michigan came out and said that the other day. She's like, there's too many people in our party that are afraid of what's going to happen with the woke people on Twitter. They're going to raise a stink and they're going to get attacked, and they're afraid of that. The woke left has run based on fear. But as we're coming out of cancel culture, as we're coming out of this where people are just going, you know what? I don't care what you think anymore. And you're starting to see that in pop culture. You're starting to see that with like people like Bill Maher and Billy Joel. We don't care what you think about us. As that becomes more mainstream, I think you'll see the politicians kind of shift to that too. It's like, oh, you are just a loud angry dog with no teeth.
Yeah, but nobody on the left who's trying to rise to prominence right now has been able to figure out how to do that. Gavin Newsom's the best example.
Yeah,
he can't figure it out.
No, and it's a movement that is still gaining traction, but it's not there. I mean, it's in the infancies. It happened on the right already. It was like, you're going to cancel us no matter what we say, so we don't care what you think. And we've been walking around like that for a decade. They are now finding out maybe there's something to this. These people are a little bit crazy and unhinged, and we don't want to go that because it's costing us elections. Eventually, they'll get there, but it's going to be 5-10 years.
It might take a while, and I tell you what is underreported is the fact that the Trump administration, and this is now being put through Congress slowly, but it's happening, they're cutting off the money that's coming through the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the government was funding a lot of this.
Yes.
That's terrible, but true, that the government itself was using your money to fund a lot of these far-left organizations. They were NGOs. We've talked about it many times. But, you know, this was right at the beginning of the Trump administration. We were really seeing, oh, USAID and all these things. Like, wow, this is crazy. We never really thought this could be that bad. And we said at the time, they're going to cut the head off of those snakes. But that doesn't mean the snake stops writhing immediately. It will take some time, but eventually they will start to run out of some of that money. How long will that take? I mean, we're 6 months in now. Are we starting to see that? Because I don't think we are yet. You know, this is still a couple months ago, but the minute ICE started to really move into California, man, people went nuts, and you saw lots of organizations getting involved, and there were people that could name the organization based on the people that show up at these protests. Mm-hmm. They were all very well paid. But those people are not necessarily going to be paid for much longer, nope. if not already cut off. So I just wonder, by the time we get to midterms, what does the Democrat Party look like? Is it still run by all that really far-left commie money that was coming through you? Or has it dried up by then to where some of these middle ground Democrats do gain a little more traction? I don't know the answer to that. And I guess it remains to be seen. I will tell you this, as a person who watches elections and polls and numbers, it makes it really tough to predict things because there's so many factors in it that you just don't know. And so it's a wait and see. We don't have to predict anything now. Obviously, we still have over a year before the midterms, but it is very interesting to watch. And the polling is all over the place right now. Very difficult to predict what's happening because Trump has taken a hit from the Epstein stuff. So his approval rating's lower, but it's from MAGA. And MAGA's not leaving him.
No.
They just don't like that issue.
They're mad about that.
They're mad about that one issue. And then Democrats are polling lower than ever. So it's not as if they've gained any ground either. I don't know. Let's take a short break. We're going to come back with a version of Wiggins America. It is the B or not the B next on the Manny Fry Show. Well,
yeah, that's
there we go.
Not
there
right. Go.
The B or not the B.
And there it is, the B or not the B. Ethan's here. Ethan could be hosting the 2 o'clock hour of this show. How do you feel about that?
You know, if you like me, vote no. If you like the show, vote no.
No, I think we're all looking for something that really embarrasses you.
You're looking to get out of work in the 2 o'clock hour.
I mean, that's
but
not...
really, you're just making more work for yourself.
I don't know. Am I?
I think so.
How? Because if you fall flat, then I got to pick it up.
Yeah.
I guess that's true, but then at least you fill up a little time. I still got the same stuff.
And you're the one that's going to have to figure out how to pick up all the pieces.
This is the B or not the B. I'm going to read you headlines, and you can tell me whether they are fake from the Babylon Bee or whether they are real. First one, Biden excited to see what AutoPen comes up with for his memoir.
That's a B.
That's the B.
That's the B. Quote, that AutoPen and I go way back, fat, Biden said. It's always coming up with something creative. I'm on the edge of my seat it'll be something. Pardon me, the Joe Biden story is slated for release in the fall of 2025. That's not the real name of the book, by the way.
I always love their writing when their writing is Joe Biden.
The book is called Pardon Me. All right. Following the death of Ozzy Osbourne, England overrun with millions of bats.
Oh.
Real.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is a real story.
Ha, tricked you. It's fake. It's from the Babylon Bee. According to Natural England, Ozzy Osbourne is the only known natural predator of bats. And if they don't do something quickly, the bat population may explode across the entire globe. Quote, bats can fly and Ozzy is dead, warned zoologist David Mancroft. You do the math. In London, bats reportedly crept in unnoticed through the tube system before exploding onto the surface at dusk, where they proceeded to take over Parliament and all major bridges. Few Londoners escaped without a bat flying into their hair or burqa, causing quite a scare.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Right. Shots there, fired kid. Across the bow right there. All right, next one. Superintendent candidate rejected over using the word ladies.
This real. Is a real story.
This is a real story.
That's crazy.
A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit filed by a former candidate for East Hampton Superintendent of Schools, whose job offer was rescinded in 2023 after he referred to the school committee chair and an administrative assistant as ladies in an email. Following two interviews, the school committee, this is the story of how this happened, school committee voted 4-3 in their March 23 meeting to offer the position to this guy, Perrone is his last name, who had been the principal of East Hampton High School. 5 days later, a woman named Kwiatkowski announced in another school committee meeting that Perrone would begin work in July of 2023. Perron had requested a few things in his contract, and in the email referred to the people he was talking to as ladies, and they said that was insulting and then rejected the job offer.
That's wild.
Unbelievable. She should have referred to them as ma'ams.
You know what, though? If I got rejected by a job for using ladies like that, and they said it was offensive, I would count that as a blessing.
You know what, though? He was already working in the school district, so it's not like he was applying to come into this and went, whoa, I dodged a bullet there. He was already there.
Yeah,
He was just looking for a promotion.
Like, let me rethink my position in my career.
What is the alternative? What do you address?
I don't know.
Women in the plural to start an email.
You know what's crazy is that if he would have said, hey guys, like people do, that probably would have been okay.
Yeah.
Misgendering them in that sense. Because what else do you say?
It's improper.
What do you say?
Improper.
Hey all. I mean, I guess.
Hello.
But to have to think the eggshells you're having to walk on in society, and this was 2023, so this is different. I think it's changed.
Yeah, it really has. It totally has.
But the amount of thought you have to put into just basic conversation is exhausting. Yeah. It's probably one of the reasons that Donald Trump won the presidency.
Your Highness.
People are like, get over this crap.
Hello, my princesses. Hello, my queens.
Oh, I'm flattered. I like this guy. All right, the resistance upset as government gets smaller.
This is the bee.
Yeah, this is the bee. We are the resistance. We will stand against Trump's government that he's making smaller, said one angry masked person. Trump is a fascist who wants to destroy this country and control every facet of our lives like we're living in The Handmaid's Tale. That's why he's reducing the size and scope of our government. Other members of the movement remain steadfast that they would push back against any attempts by the government to get smaller and less intrusive in the lives of everyday Americans. Last one, real quick. Police arrest Chuck E. Cheese.
It's real.
This is real. I've seen this.
I knew you guys had seen
it. This is amazing.
Yeah, a worker dressed in a Chuck E. Cheese costume at the kid-friendly pizza franchise in Tallahassee, Florida, was taken to custody Wednesday on larceny charges. Apparently, he was stealing. I don't know if he was stealing at the job or somewhere else, but the officer said, quote, I grabbed his right arm while giving the verbal instruction, Chucky, come with me, Chucky. That's what the officer said.
They perp walked him out with the Chucky mask still on.
Yeah, they let him stay in the
they had him costume. They had him behind the car with the comically large Chuck E. Cheese gloves.
All right, short break. We'll be right back with the Manny Fry Show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.